When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
So I had a realization and came to a conclusion recently. We have been doing our amazing live shows and touring the country, and we also do conventions. And at a lot of these places, we step off the plane and we make it to baggage claim. And at baggage claim, there will be what they call like autograph hounds. They're waiting for us. They're people who have headshots of us or Funko Pops or whatever it is they have that they want us to sign. And they have a bunch of them usually, like no less than like three at a time, sometimes as many as 10. And they'll try to get you to sign as many of them as you want. And unlike a normal fan or someone who, you know, I run into out on the street somewhere or at a restaurant or at the airport just randomly. These are not people I'm casually bumping into. These are people who have followed our schedule, known when about we are flying in, and have done some sort of research to figure out which flight we are on, which airline we are on,
because they're also like which hotel we're staying at sometimes.
Yep. Which hotel we're staying at? Well, that's what happened recently. I walked in to check into one of our hotels, and Will was with me. And the woman behind the desk said, "Hi, just wanted to let you know some people were calling asking for you here."
Wow.
And it was not a family member of mine. Everybody would have, you know, checked in with me on my cell phone, but so they call around to hotels to figure out if they can get information about where you're staying. And then they wait for you there. In the past, I have kind of begrudgingly and maybe not with the most friendly of attitudes, I have signed those pictures for people. I'll sometimes even come right out and say, like, how did you know I was going to be on Delta? Like that, it just feels a little weird.
It feels a little icky. But it's also, I think there's also, usually you can tell that they're doing it for money. It's like a job.
They're going
it's
to
not because
it.
They like your work, right? It's about
they
them
aren't
making
even
money.
Kind, to be honest, most of the time. Sometimes they are.
Or even Chicago's worse, I've had them be like,
I'm a huge fan. And I'm like, are you? Because you have like 70 photographs of me right. that you've printed out along with 70 other people. You know, I'm like, this is, you're just, okay. It's a weird interaction.
It's a weird interaction.
Great.
And I've normally done it. And, you know, truthfully, when we go for conventions, they actually tell us not to do it because the conventions spend quite a bit of money flying us out there to, you know, sign autographs for people who are going to the event. And that's how the convention makes money. So if we're just signing things for people when they've decided to stand outside the airport, it loses them money. So they ask us not to do it. I have in the past done it before. This last time when people were in our hotel, it was at they had called around, figured out which hotel we were staying in. And then at the end of our live show, it was around midnight. I walked into the lobby of the hotel and they were just sitting in the lobby of the hotel. And because they were sitting in the lobby of the hotel, I thought they were not autograph seekers. I thought they must be people who were staying at the hotel. And I walked in just very relaxed. And then they jumped up and ripped out autographs. And I said, no, I said, I'm sorry. No, this feels very weird to me. They were like blocking my entrance to the elevator to get to my room. Right. And I hit a point. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to say no. And I'm going to flat out tell them why I'm saying no. The fact that I have continued to sign them is encouraging the behavior. They know if they wait for us outside the airport, we will sign them. Even if we say, oh, this feels weird, we do it. So I just want everyone to know I am not going to do it anymore. And I'm going to say,
I'm kind of with you.
This feels invasive to me. It feels, it makes me uncomfortable and it makes me feel unsafe. That is absolutely how I feel. And I don't want to encourage the behavior anymore. If I run into you anywhere that is random, this does not apply to true fans of our show or the podcast or anything. If I run into you, I want you to come up and say hello. I want you to come up and give me a hug. I will sign something for you. I will take a selfie with you. Absolutely. But autograph seekers who are kind of stalking our locations, waiting for us outside of our hotels or waiting for us in baggage claim of airports, I'm no longer doing it. It makes me feel very uncomfortable and I don't want to continue I don't want to encourage the behavior. Right. So
I thought it was funny. We got into the hotel after the live show and Danielle and I are walking in and all the autograph hounds are there and Danielle disappeared. It's like, it was like there was a Danielle shaped hole in the wall. Like she disappeared. And then it was just me by myself. I was like, hey, Danielle, are we going to, oh, okay. I'm just here by myself.
Did you go to the left?
No, what were you talking about? The last hotel in Royal Oak?
Yeah.
No, I just went in the door and then I went to the right wherever. I didn't know what they were doing. And then a bunch of people were like there. And then I'm a people pleaser. So I always like to just make people happy. And I also hate confrontation. So I'm like,
that's places, the way I am too. Yeah. And they play on that too, because I've had, come on, I've been waiting out here for an hour. I'm like, I didn't ask you to.
Well, Chicago's the worst because Chicago, they buy tickets to the flights. And so they are waiting for you when you get off of your plane.
The plane.
They're not
that
even in
the... They actually buy a ticket they don't use.
They do. And the last time I went for C2E2, which is a wonderful convention, there was maybe, not exaggerating, 10 people waiting when I got off the plane. And both of their arms on both sides were filled with batarangs on one side and then bat masks on the other side, which they wanted me. And I must have signed 150 autographs 5 feet off of the plane.
Which makes a lot of money for them.
It does. And after a while, and then the thing was, I was flying home, like I ended up staying in Chicago extra days and then flying home 2 days later to Connecticut, not even back to LA. And they were waiting at my Connecticut flight at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And it was like, how did you even know
I don't know this. I've only had it proven once where when I was dating Lance, someone knew that Lance and I were taking a flight to Mississippi on when we went around Christmas. And I don't remember how I found out, but I found out because one of the girl's moms worked for Delta and actually just told her daughter that our names were in the system for this particular flight. And I suspect there is somebody on the inside of the airlines who either gets a cut of these autographs that they make or just enjoys giving these tips, but that tells people when and where we're coming
from.
So I don't want it to be a surprise to anyone. And you obviously, Will and Ryder, are allowed to do whatever you'd like. I have just made a decision for myself. It will make me feel better to say it out loud. I also don't enjoy confrontation. I don't like to let people down, but I am not going to do it anymore. It makes
But what about like outside of a live show? Like when we just walk out of the theater? Because I feel weird about that because we've done meet and greets.
Yes.
Like the whole point is that we've said, this is the time. If you want to meet us, if you want to take a picture with us, and we will do this at a certain time, and we allow a certain amount of tickets. And when that time is over, I want to go home.
Yes.
Like I wanted to,
it's
the
also
show
not
is
fair
over.
To the people that paid to be there.
That's the other thing is it feels like, you know, and then for these people, they're not really fans. They're just, this is just like their way to make money for them.
Well,
yeah, I mean, I've always had the rule that I would only sign one per person. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of, you know, and then they still give me crap about that. They'll still be like, come on, just three more. You know, and I end up feeling bad because I am a people pleaser too. And I'm like, I'm with you, Danielle. I kind of feel like just saying
no. Well, if you
no,
both
like,
decide to say no,
board.
I won't sign them either. Because then you're like, you're the, then looking cool while the other two people you're with on the show
like
kind
jerks.
Of look like jerks. And I would never do that. So if you, the two of you are like, we're not signing, then I will stand in solidarity and also say that I won't sign.
Yeah,
I think that's the fair way to do it.
It absolutely makes me feel uncomfortable. I feel violated. Yeah. When those people were inside the lobby of our hotel, somewhat blocking.
Well, they
our...
found my van, guys.
Oh,
they found
gosh.
My van because because Jen, we took a photo. When we first met each other in Minneapolis, we all took a photo outside of the van, and it showed on Instagram. It said the street name in the background, and so they were waiting at my van when I went back with my family to go back
after
to the hotel pre-show after we ate lunch.
After we ate, yeah.
And I was like, whoa. And then they followed me because I said no, got in my van because I was like with my son and my wife. I'm like, no, I am not on
not
the
cool.
block right now.
Not
and
cool.
then they followed us to the hotel and pounced there. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, we had people at all the hotels too. And again, it's such a strange dichotomy because true fans, like the fans, are the best.
Yes.
And we would never say no to a fan coming up being like, can I take a selfie with you? Oh my God,
exactly.
I'm a huge fan of the show. Like we would never say no to that.
The only people who are doing that, who are actually doing the stalking material, are the autograph seekers.
Autograph seekers, Okay.
So anyway, this
right,
may
I'll
have been
stand with
boring
you.
Pre-show chatter, but I did have to say it because again, going with the people pleaserness, I don't want anybody to be surprised.
Right.
Surprises
no,
are
it.
Out. Dunzo. Yeah. And
well,
I'll,
I didn't
and I
know that
you.
Whole thing about you and Lance and like that somebody at Delta was there. That's great.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So I suspect that's not like the only time that's happened. By the way, if they ever got caught, they would be in.
Oh, I'm
so
sure they'd be
trouble.
Fired. Yeah.
So much trouble.
Yeah.
Welcome to Pod Meets World. I'm Danielle No Autograph Official.
I'm Ryder Strong.
And I'm Will Friedle.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car. Backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
As a podcast focused on reliving memories from our past, I can tell you firsthand, as you get older, your memory just isn't as reliable as it used to be.
Yeah, if we didn't have Will here, there would be a lot of dead air.
That is true, Robert. Well, guys, since I know you need a little help, you're going to love Legacy Box. It's the safest way to digitize your home videos and pictures, even when you think you don't have a way to watch them anymore.
Oh, this is perfect, especially with Mother's Day right around the corner.
It really is the perfect gift for the whole family, whether it's a sweet 16 or college graduation,
first steps, or performing a Backstreet Boys dance in between scenes on your childhood network sitcom. This is the way to reconnect with your history.
The process is so easy. You just fill your legacy box with old VHS or camcorder tapes, pictures, negatives, film reels. I mean, they even work with over 15 different types of analog media, so they have you covered.
Then you just send the box back and their team professionally digitizes everything by hand in the U.S. and you'll get it all back on the cloud or on a thumb drive along with your originals.
I recently sent off my first box to Legacy Box and I got into my old storage unit and found about 40 tapes, all different media, and I was able to label each one and send it off. I cannot wait to see what these tapes hold.
Jensen and I also recently got some of his home videos digitized, and being able to hear his parents' voices again has been a real gift.
So join over 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories.
Go to legacybox.com/world to save 60% during their best Mother's Day sale ever.
It's time to connect with your past and make sure those memories are preserved properly.
That's legacybox.com/world. Orlando, in less than a week, we are going to be in your city. We cannot wait. Tony Quinn is joining us. Also, if you haven't heard, we just announced 10 additional city stops. So check out podmeetsworldshow.com so you can see all the cities. And we have less than 100 tickets left for Orlando. In less than a week, we're going to be there. See you then. Welcome to this episode of Pod Meets World. We are recapping season 3, episode 9, The Last Temptation of Corey. It originally aired December 1st, 1995. The synopsis is that Corey starts to enjoy all the attention he gets from other girls now that he and Topanga are an item. However, things get a little out of hand when Missy Robinson kisses him at a party. Meanwhile, Eric buys some baseball memorabilia, hoping to make a fortune, and Feeney preps for a charity walkathon. It was directed by David Trainer. It was written by Susan Myers and Judy Toll.
Judy was one of our staff writers. She was an absolutely wonderful woman, a great writer, an incredible comedian, and has since passed away. I think she had I think she had skin cancer. She was good friends with a lot of incredible comedians. She ended up being on, I want to say it was Curb Your Enthusiasm or one of these other shows. I mean, she was like a legit stand-up and writer.
Wow. Wow.
And was she and I used to sit and talk all the time. She was really wonderful. And I found out years later, I was doing a show called Go Fish. I think it was Go Fish. I forget. No, excuse me. I did a pilot called Jack's House. And I walked into the producer's house and she had a picture of her with Judy. And I was like, oh, you know, Judy, when's the last time you talked to her? And she's like, she passed away several years ago. And I had no idea. It was really sad. So yeah, Judy Toll was awesome. She was with us for a while. She was great.
Yeah, she had a Sex and the City episode dedicated in her name as well. And she did appear on Curb and she wrote for Sex and the City.
So. Yeah, she was really funny, like legitimately funny. She was one of her best friends was Kathy Griffin.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, they were together quite a bit.
This episode has some guest stars, Elizabeth Harnois as Missy Robinson, best known as Will's co-star in the infamous My Date with the President's Daughter.
I was going to say, not familiar with her work.
No, not at all. You don't know her.
I don't
know. I never knew this connection, really.
Really?
I've never seen My Date with the President's Daughter. And so, I was texting with Jensen earlier and he mentioned that. And I was like, whoa, I didn't know that. Yeah.
So you've never seen My Date with the President's Daughter?
Neither of us have.
What?
No.
Wow. I've also never seen double H-E hockey sticks.
I've seen all your work because I love you guys.
Yeah, because we were, you were required to for Pod Meets World.
No, I've seen
Summertime Switch. You had
Cabin
seen Summertime
Fever.
Switch?
Of course, I'd seen Summertime Switch several times.
No, you hadn't.
I had seen it several times. No. I am the vice president of the Southern Switch California Summertime Switch fan club. I'm not president. I'm vice president. And yes, I've seen all your work. So whatever.
Well, she would also go on to be Morgan Brody on over 80 episodes of CSI. Yeah. And then Lindsay McKeon as Libby Harper. She was later a lead on Saved by the Bell, the new class, as Katie Peterson. And then we have the return of
Brittany
Murphy.
And she came back. She came back. Lindsay came back for the first Girlfriends Club.
Oh,
which is when
yes.
Sean gets handcuffed yep. to the thing by the ex-girlfriend.
Right.
So she's like one of Sean's exes, kind of randomly.
Oh. Yeah.
But she's great. I remember because we saw her at ATX whenever we did that years ago. And she was there, I guess, maybe because of Saved by the Bell or something. And I was with Michael Jacobs. And we were like, hey, she played Libby. And we were like, yeah,
so she wasn't a friend of yours. For some reason, I thought she was like a friend of yours in personal life, right? Or like for some reason, I didn't know she was part of your crowd or something like that.
No. Well, it was funny because when I saw her at ATX, we like hung out and we bonded and like, yeah, we got along. I don't remember if we hung out back.
I might be confusing her with somebody else.
Yeah, no, but I definitely remember her and we got along great. And when I saw her at ATX, it was so cool to catch up with her. But I haven't seen her since then. That was what, 2013, something like that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her since. We got to get her on the show.
Yeah.
And then we have Brittany Murphy as Trini. Mm. This is her second and final appearance on the show. And we have Andrew Majerian as the voice of Bagwell. Gil Stratton as announcer. He had a long career here in LA as the voice of the Rams and just about every sports talk station the city ever had, which I'm sure Ryder's very familiar with.
So excited.
Not only does he love sports ball, but he loves sports radio.
Oh, it's like his favorite thing ever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we jump into our recap. We're in the school hallway. Corey is on the phone with Topanga, who is sick at home, and she says she'll be back by Monday. Corey says that Topanga said she'd never get sick as long as she was taking that trout fluid. Topanga corrects him that
my first thought was, did Danielle have finals this week?
I thought the same
thing. I write on here, I apparently had finals.
He's also perfectly coiffed hair, makeup
so
all done. You
sick.
Look wonderful.
So
and
I look
don't
tan.
Look sick at all. You're like sitting up in bed. It's like, yeah, nothing sick about
I think you.
You
also, I think that we shot this right after the first episode of the season. Because
I'm so tan.
You're tan. Brittany was in it.
Yeah.
Which she did two episodes back to back, if I remember, and we used the Topanga bedroom set, which
and
was
my hair
looked
better.
Episode.
And my hair
so,
looked better.
Yeah. So I think this was shot. This was the second episode we shot of the season.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Also, my room. I don't know if you guys noticed, but there is a giant number 4 behind my head, on top of some pictures, a full collage of really beautiful women and some men, and. These look like maybe they're my victims and I'm a serial killer. It's
okay.
The weirdest wall collage. It is. It looks like I've been collecting pictures of women whose haircut I want because they're like it's a bunch of close ups of really attractive women with like great shorter hair. And then there's like some pictures of couples on there and then just a number 4.
Okay, so you went with you being the serial killer. What if you're the only one that can solve the crime?
Right. Yeah. Maybe
what if
that's
you're like more the detective and you're like, nobody's put these things together. Topanga's on it.
Topanga's on it. I love
exactly.
it. Okay, that makes more sense. Because Topanga doesn't seem like she'd be a serial killer. But,
no,
but
she's going to catch the
weird.
4 murderer.
Yeah, she sure will. So Corey says he'll call her after his next period and then calls her Topi. Everyone in the hallway awes and Corey yells, drop dead, we're in love. And then Sean clears it up that he doesn't mean the two of them.
Oh, gay says, panic. Gay panic.
Sean panics.
Oh my God, they might think we're gay.
You know what? That is actually out of character for Boy.
Totally
they
out of
never,
character.
They never reference Sean being uncomfortable with anybody
no,
thinking that,
that
they're gay.
In fact, that other episode, I guess it was from second season, well, that was what
You're
was
like,
so
hold
funny.
My hand. Kiss me.
Yes. I was like, hold my hand. Whoa, your hand feels big.
He never cared. He
totally,
never cared about that.
No,
it's such a
dumb joke.
Out of character.
So Corey says he's not embarrassed about being in love because they do everything together. And then Libby Harper comes up to Corey and compliments his shirt. And he responds that under it, he's half naked. Sean
Which
says,
is a callback to like, we've done that joke.
It was the Natanya Ross episode,
yeah.
right? But
yeah.
We love that idea. Just We love it that under your clothes, you're naked. It's very naked. Funny. Very funny to our writers. Sean says Corey was flirting with Libby Harper, but Corey says he was just being nice. And girls like Libby don't flirt with him. Sean says women are watching Corey because he has the scent. Corey asks what the scent is. And Sean says it's the scent of being unavailable. And Virgo, they want him. Very funny joke.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Very, very briefly, because I've heard this is the case and it never happened to me. Ryder, did you notice women hitting on you more when you put on a wedding ring?
Yeah,
you did. Nothing. There's been no change. I didn't get hit on before. I don't get hit on now.
I don't know if it was like so obvious, but like I've definitely noticed in my life that when I'm in a relationship, women are more comfortable and flirty in general. Like whenever I'm like really alone and sad and wanting women to hit on me, it doesn't happen. Let me put it that way.
Right.
Fair enough. Okay.
I think maybe the alone and sad has more to do with the
partnered up factor.
It's the not taking care of yourself, your hygiene.
It's the drunk,
that's the problem.
Alone in a bar, sad and desperate.
That's probably what turns them off, as opposed to when
you're happy, women actually being attracted to you. So
that's what. It's so dumb to make it about like how women can sense that you're in a relationship. The truth is, you're just comfortable and you're happy and you're
like
more confident.
No, I meant with the wedding ring. Like they see that there's this thing where you see a wedding ring.
I don't wear a wedding. I mean, I did for a few years.
Yeah, for a while.
So I did, but I don't think it was ever because of that. Like, but I definitely have noticed that like I'm more comfortable around women and women are more comfortable around you when you're not desperately trying to hit on them.
Well, yeah, of course.
It feels better.
You're already taken. So it's like nothing could happen from this. So you're just kind of talking. Yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
Corey says it's not like Missy Robinson is just going to come flirt with him. And then, wouldn't you know it, Missy Robinson comes up to him and asks if he knows what time the sun sets. It's 6:52, in case you were wondering. Corey gets nervous and looks to Sean. And then we're in Feeney's classroom. Sean whispers to Corey that Missy is in Topanga's seat. Corey shushes Sean as he's trying to pay attention, but Feeney calls out Corey to explain what he was saying. Corey has no idea. Feeney then calls on Sean, who says, Franklin Roosevelt and the New Deal. Feeney grabs his chest in shock and says, dear Lord, he's right. Sean explains that's been his answer for 2 years. Sooner or later, it had to pay off.
That's a great beat. Great beat.
Did you guys notice, too, this is like maybe the only time this has happened in the history of Boy Meets World. There is Feeney hubbub going on at the beginning of the scene. Like, so while I'm talking to Corey, you can hear.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like they recorded Bill doing generic hubbub. And it's like that never happens at our show. It's usually like if the teacher's talking, they're just off camera. We don't hear them at all. But for whatever reason, this episode, they decided to record some Feeney dialogue.
They wanted also teaching reality.
Yeah. A little bit of reality.
I love seeing Feeney at the front of the classroom.
I know.
Every time I see it, it just brings me right back. It's wonderful. It's where he belongs. I love it.
It is a really comfortable feeling to see him up there.
We have actually not had that many classroom scenes this whole season.
I know.
Like, we haven't had many Mr. Turner scenes.
There's been a lot of classroom scenes, but not a lot of classroom teaching scenes.
Correct.
It's like walking in and having a scene about something or walking into the hallway and having... It's not like sitting there and learning a lesson. You don't get that
the integration of, like, the book into that. That is really first and second season.
Starting to really fall by the wayside. Yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah. Yep.
As class ends, Feeney says everyone needs to pick a partner for their next assignment. Naturally, Corey and Sean partner up. Feeney stops them and tells them to spread the wealth. Sean says he has to do the project with his best friend until a girl asks him to partner up, and Sean immediately ditches him for her. Hey. And then Trini, a.k.a. Brittany Murphy, comes up to Corey saying Topanga is always her partner and there are very few people who understand her. Trini says she can call Topanga at 3 a.m. and without saying a word, Topanga knows it's her.
She's so good.
I don't love this scene though.
I
wanted her to be quirkier.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, well, like what she's saying is funny. Like, I love the joke of like, I call, you know, but like as a, I don't know, I just, I thought maybe she should be eating something or drinking something or doing something
weird. It's her body. She's like constantly moving her body. And it's like,
no, that's great.
I think what you're constantly, what you're bumping against is the fact that the last time we saw Trini, he was actually on a date with her. And there was none of, you didn't pick up at all that he found her annoying. You didn't get that he had a crush on her or anything, but there wasn't any sort of the janitor bud Feeny relationship.
Yes, right. Yes.
I wanted her to be weirder or to go on for too long.
Or be annoying to Corey,
So that we can see him become annoyed instead of him just going, I'm annoyed with her all the time, and us being like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that about your relationship. It feels a little like they told us something about the relationship we missed, but we didn't. Right.
It also feels like Corey's kind of mean. Like,
yeah, exactly. And he is because we don't I would have loved for her to have a bunch of examples about like where if Trini could have been more like young Danielle, let me ask you a question because here are my answers, and then just not shut up for like 3 minutes and for him to be like trying to leave the whole time she's talking.
Yes.
I loved her. So, I mean, I'm not going to give Brittany Murphy a note. She's great. It was more about the writing.
It's more about the writing to me too. Yeah. It's about the character setup.
Cause she's wonderful. I mean, later when she's in the bedroom and she does that thing where she's like, I'm going to stay for only one more hour. Nobody gets me. It's such a great movie. So Trini hints that she wants to be Corey's partner, but he ignores her and walks out of the class. As he walks out into the hallway, Missy stops him to ask him to be her partner. Corey says he's going to do the project solo, but Missy is still flirting and calls Corey funny and cute. And I'd just like to point out that Corey is doing the right-ish thing here. He's suspected Missy's flirting with him. He says, no, I'm not going to be your partner. I'm going to put this boundary here, and I'm going to say
no. This is the last time Corey does the right-ish thing.
But also, we'll talk about that. So he does the right thing here. He says,
this is also the only moment where there's any indication of why she might like him. Which is kind of nice. Like, it would be, I would appreciate this episode a lot more if Corey innocently was awesome to her in some way. Instead of just, it seems like a lot of this episode is reconfirming this notion of the scent, like we were talking about, without any rationalization of like what she is interested in about Corey.
No, and the implication is that women want men who are taken because they're taken and that makes them feel better about themselves that they were able to steal a taken man.
Right. It's also the stereotypical woman showing disrespect to another woman, like not caring that she's in a relationship and I don't care. Yeah. And it's like, okay, I get where you're going, but
it would have been so easy to give her a really strong reason to like Corey, right? Like Corey's a funny guy. He's cute in his own way. And the fact that he thinks of himself as unpopular and average, which we've clearly established from season one, is such a great thing for him to just appreciate somebody thinking he's cool or funny. Yeah. You know, Corey would so easily fall into a situation like this if a girl really did like him and really did think he was. Yeah. But instead, she is like, after this scene, after this couple lines, she is just on like seduction track.
Right. Yeah.
And it kind of is psychopathic. It's like, what is the motivation here? What does she want from him other than like sex? You know,
but is she also just trying to break up Corey and Topanga? That's the point.
She wants Corey, whether it's for long term or not. She just wants Corey.
But we don't know what. Yeah, we don't really know why. Which is
I guess maybe is enough of an explanation. She just thinks Corey's hot. But I thought it would be cooler if there was a little bit more of a reason. Like he said something in class. He says something here that.
Well, what you said, it should have been what you said at the beginning, which is, and Sean should have been the one to explain. It's like, now that you're in a relationship, you're comfortable and relaxed. You're
totally.
You're easier to be around. You don't. You're not awkward. Like, when's the last time you fell on your face? Like something. Like
when she came up to him and said, do you know when the sun sets? If he had a witty response back to it, and she giggled and was like, you're so funny. If we got to see a little bit. So I agree with you. So Corey says he's going to do the project solo. Then Feeny walks by with Trini and says she still needs a partner. But Corey says he's taken.
I love the way he's holding her. Like she's just this like wild animal that he caught and he has to keep away from her. Oh, God.
He puts his arm around Missy to avoid having to work with Trini. And Missy says Corey's girlfriend Topo Gigio won't mind. And when Corey corrects her that her name is Topanga, she says, whatever.
This is where Topo Gigio comes from, right? We've never heard this before.
Which is, it is a reference to something else. Topo Gigio
is
like a little.
It's a reference to a character on why can't I think of the name?
The puppet show or something?
No, like the late show. Ed Sullivan. Maybe Ed Sullivan.
Maybe Ed Sullivan, yeah.
Okay.
But it was Topo Gigio. We did that for years.
One of those boomer shows. Yeah.
This is another one of those. We did these for years, Topo Gigio.
So then we're in the school cafeteria. Corey walks over to sit next to Sean and is confused because Bertha told him his lunch was already paid for. Then Missy waves at Corey from another table and Sean says he still doesn't realize the scent.
The scent. And I also call him Corrance.
Corrance.
Yeah, Corrance, which is kind of cool.
And that's kind of cool. It's weird.
The only time we ever do it?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's see if it ever comes up again.
And my skin is horrible.
Really?
I noticed it this time.
God, I am so covered in makeup.
You really were this time. Yeah, this is the first time I noticed it.
I never noticed it before. And this episode, it's so bad.
Yeah, this one I saw. I didn't see it before, but this one I saw.
Haven't gotten on Accutane yet.
Yeah. So, well, Missy calls to Corey again to say she saved him a seat. Corey says he's going to go over there, but just to talk about the project. And Sean tells him, remember, and Corey finishes, be myself. And Sean says, no, be me.
Be me.
Good line.
And then Feeney walks up to Turner and Williams. He's all buddy-buddy and out of character. He's looking for pledges for a charity walkathon.
Bill Daniels at this point can do no wrong for me. He's my favorite part of the show. I had no idea.
Yeah.
We were on a TV show with a guy. Obviously, I respected him, but now I'm like, I want to just watch the Feeney show.
Yeah.
I just want to watch Bill Daniels.
The Feeney and Allen show.
Oh, my God. Exactly. This scene just kills me. Every little line, every line reading, I was like laughing out loud.
He's perfect. He's perfect.
Yeah. And it's just so entertaining. Funny. You know, it's its own show. Like, you know, it's its own show for the grownups watching along with their kids to be like, oh, Feeney is putting one over. It's
and
so
the
great.
Three of them together are so good, too. It's so a great fun. Dynamic. And love it.
I know. I love the three of them together. Turner says he's already down for $2 a mile. And Feeney says Janitor Bud paid twice as much. And he's a man of no fixed address, which is brilliant.
You got to be Bud, man.
Eli agrees that Turner has to beat Bud, so he puts down $5 a mile and then he leaves. Eli says he's always up for a good cause, and then Feeney's hand cramps up. He says, oh, when the weather gets damp, his joints swell up, like last year when his knee swelled up so badly he had to be a no-show to the walkathon. Eli says, look, man, why don't I just give you $50 so you don't have to hurt yourself? But Feeney is trying to persuade him into donating more by saying he may not even be able to walk the whole thing. William says, you know what? I'll give you $50 a mile. That way, if you only do 1 mile, you still get $50. And then Feeney smiles like a little devil.
He's got that great smile, too. That little, like, gotcha, gotcha.
Gotcha. I love it. Missy wants Corey to feel how soft her skin is now that she's tried a new moisturizer, and he just touches her really quickly and says it reminds him of their history project. Missy questions why Corey thinks her skin reminds him of the Great Depression, and he says, no, just the end part when everyone gets all happy.
It's a great lines. It's funny.
Corey asks about the project, and Missy says she can't work on it this weekend because she has a party and that Corey should come and bring Sean. Notice she doesn't say you should bring Topanga. She says bring Sean. Corey is hesitant and asks if she thinks they'll find time to talk about the Great Depression at the party, and she says it wouldn't be a party if we didn't.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car. Backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 IONIQ 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Summer is steadily approaching, and you know what that means.
Wearing a shirt at the beach so I don't look like a sad radish for the entire vacation?
Okay, maybe.
Being thirsty?
Yes, Ryder, you got it. It is time to go outside and bask in the glory that is sunshine with barbecues and hikes and trips to exotic locations.
With your shirt on?
Yes, with your shirt on.
It is time to jump into a camper van with your son and your wife and
torture everyone. Well, with all these summer activities, it's so important that you stay hydrated.
And we're here to tell you all about Liquid IV. It has three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick.
It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America.
You just rip open a packet and pour it into your water and bam, you're hydrating with electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. But most importantly, it tastes good.
It's so easy and perfect after a workout, which I do to replenish after a nice long run.
And you can travel with Liquid IV right there in your pocket. Add it to a water on a flight or after a big night when you need just a little assistance to get up in the morning.
Tear, pour, live more. One stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. And with sugar-free flavors like white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime, you can't miss.
Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV.
Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code WORLD at checkout.
That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WORLD at liquidiv.com. Now, this is the part where I guess you very easily could have just been like, no, I'm not well, going.
For me, it was the next scene with Topanga when it was like, why is he rationalizing going to this? Like, right. Why does he like and yet he somehow makes it and the whole show seems to make it her fault. Right. Like it's all on Missy.
I mean, she does sexually assault him, which we'll get to. I mean, she's
but this is also I didn't think this was that big a deal. Because again, back when we were 7th grade, 8th grade, there'd be parties and it's like, even if you have a girlfriend or whatever, if she couldn't go, you'd still go because all your boys would be there. There'd be 50 people there. I mean, it wasn't a big deal.
But Corey knows that Missy's into it. At this point, it's become clear. He's talked about it.
Right.
And that he still chooses to go. It's like, which is all fine because that's the point of the story, right?
Right.
Right.
I just wish Corey would acknowledge that he was into her.
Right.
And that's why he's going. He chooses to go to the party. And it would have just been a little easy wrinkle of him saying to Sean, well, I do kind of think Missy's hot.
She's so cool.
Right. She's so cool. I want to be around her.
Now,
I
do you think
Topanga,
that's what it is? See, I didn't think. I didn't think that's what it was.
Oh, he's just an innocent victim walking into her lips. Like,
no. I think he's enamored with the idea that women actually want him. I don't think it's necessarily Missy. It's the idea that, wow, all of a sudden I'm the average guy, but now women want me. And it's more being infatuated with that than with her as an actual person.
I get that. And I wish he enjoyed her finding him funny and interesting more. Like, right. You know, like, especially in the scene in the basement, it would be so great if he's having a good time. Like, yeah. if he can't help himself because she's laughing at all of his jokes or his right. stories, and right. she's finding
and he finds
him charming.
Putting it on, and he's
exactly.
being a little bit.
Well,
by that point,
oh, God,
he's 100%
what have I done? It's 9
wrong.
O'clock.
Yeah.
I stayed too late because yeah. I just got.
I got
yeah.
enamored.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
But
mm.
yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
This happened to me, by the way. This exact story happened to me, by the way.
Really?
Exact story happened.
Wait, you had a girlfriend and...
No, I was you in this situation. So my friend Mike, at the time, had a girlfriend, but another girl liked him. And we were told there was a party. The two of us went and there was just two girls there. It was the girl wow. that liked him and a girl that I had a crush on who did not like me at all. Oh. So they went off and hooked up. But because they hooked up, the girl that I like actually kissed me. Until Mike walked in the hallway, and then she threw me across the room as if I weighed nothing because she didn't want anyone to see that she had actually kissed me. Wow. So it was like, I remember being next to her on the couch, then being 14 feet away in like a half a second.
Did you undergo like a physical transformation from the age of 15 to 16 where you went from like the Phantom of the Opera to who you are now? Like,
dude,
what you talk as
no,
if you were like
I
this
know.
Repulsive,
no, I was the funny
socially
kid.
Awkward.
No, I was, but I was just, I was the funny kind
you're
of chubby.
You're a beautiful human being, Will.
Yes.
There's like
well,
no
you.
Point
yes.
in your life where you weren't a beautiful human being.
Right.
You have like
do you
perfect
think
features.
12-year-olds
no see
beautiful human being? No, they.
Okay.
I was a chubby.
You also are the funniest human being I've ever met.
That's what, I was.
So,
I was the funny
that's
kid.
What people
a funny, gorgeous guy. He was a funny, yeah. gorgeous white guy. He really had it very rough.
He really had it rough. You don't understand.
I was overweight. I was the chubby kid, the chubby
sense.
Funny kid. I was not
no.
the
you know what I think it is?
Kid.
My take is that you were gone a lot more than you think.
No.
Yeah.
I think you were not, you think of yourself as like having had a normal, like regular attendant, like regular school attendance, and so, but you were not. At 11, you were already going to New York.
Yeah.
I did. Don't just
sit there.
I think
you're remembering it wrong.
No.
Because you were doing Nickelodeon shows.
I'm sorry. You're telling
me
I'm remembering my own life wrong with my memory?
Yes.
I did all of Don't Just Sit There during the summer, so I missed no school during doing Don't Just Sit There.
I think people were intimidated and felt like you didn't think you were part of the community.
I wish... That were yeah. I wish everything you're saying was actually the case. It wasn't. I was just the funny kid that everyone was friends
maybe
with.
Maybe it was because you smelled so. They were.
All
she
my
was,
friends
she didn't
smoked.
Kiss you.
All my friends smoked. No, I was the funny. I was the funny kind of chubby kid that just. I was popular with girls in like the 6th and 7th grade, and then 8th grade. There was a weird power dynamic shift in 8th grade, and all the kids that had friends. Were literally beaten up and then weren't part of the friend group anymore. So at the start of high school, I had no friends, none. Yeah. It was a really weird dynamic in my life. But all my friends say the same thing now when they look back and no, you were never there. No, I was there the whole time. No, you were the cool guy. Nope, wasn't the cool guy. So it's like they remember it the way you guys remember it, and I remember it the way it actually happened.
We're all yeah. probably
no, the
wrong.
Whole world's
we're
wrong.
All wrong.
Even the people who were there.
Only Will Friedle, who's his own person from inside himself. He's
yes.
the one we should trust.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm known for having a horrible memory.
It's not about memory. It's about perception.
Uh-huh.
Trini walks up behind Corey, which scares him, and asks if he wants to go over to Topanga's house after school. Corey acts very caught and says, "Do you think you're the only person who is thinking about poor, sick Topanga? I love the girl. I'm thinking about her right now." Then he sits down with Missy and he pops back up saying he's thinking about her right now, too. And he's going to go over there and think about her some more. And then we're in the Matthews kitchen slash living room. Corey tells Sean that he's going to the party and nothing will happen because he's his own person and doesn't care what anyone else thinks. Sean asks Corey where he's going as he walks into the living room. And Corey responds that he's going to run it by Topanga, which I thought was funny.
Smart.
Eric is holding a hammer and the Matthews family photo and asks Sean to take the picture while he puts a nail in the wall.
It's a great beat.
Without flinching,
just grabs
just
it, leaves,
grabs the picture,
it's
and
great.
Walks right out the front door.
So
not a
funny.
Question asked. So funny.
No exchange between the two of us.
Joke,
just like I
love
it. Just
it.
Takes
sure.
it and goes.
Got it.
It's awesome.
I
awesome.
Love it. Eric makes a hole in the wall when he tries to hammer a nail, but says it's a good thing he's putting a picture up. Amy and Alan walk into the house, and
that's
Alan
me
says,
hanging up anything in my house. By the way, that's exactly what I do. You just like put 14. Like I never take the time to measure. I'm always like, that looks about right. Boom, and then it's like completely in the wrong space. So I have like four holes for everything hanging up in my house. Like, you know,
I'll
like
do that occasionally, but
oh my god, it's awful.
Amy and Alan walk into the house, and Alan says he had to wrestle Sean for their family picture. Eric hangs a picture of a baseball player and says, with the money he'll be making, Alan will be able to buy himself a new family. Amy asks who the poor man with the swollen head in the picture is, and Eric says that man is going to pay college tuition, and that man
is Jeff Manel,
our
friend of the show and writer,
favorite writers, friend of the show, couldn't love him anymore.
Wrote the famous Scream episode.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh. Eric says he's going to say one word: baseball collectibles are hot. And then he says he paid 200 macaroons for that photo of Teddy Beanbag Bagwell. Alan says that man is a bum and that picture is not worth $200. But Eric says Baggy is only two hit by pitches away from the major league record. Two more bean balls, and they can all go to college.
My favorite line. We all go to college. What are you talking about? But you say it with such confidence.
Exactly.
Two more bean balls, we all go to college.
And
we
this makes, if what you're saying is right, Ryder, this makes total sense. It's the second episode, so I'm comfortable. I lose it for some reason for a couple episodes, but it was I was good here. This was okay.
No, you were having fun.
Yes, exactly.
Amy asks who holds the record for getting hit in the head, and Alan says he's thinking Eric.
He's thinking Eric.
Pretty cute. And then we're in Topanga's room. Trini is telling Topanga about the school project and that she couldn't find a partner, so she's doing it with Feeny. But Feeny also told her to never call again, which again, I think
I would
is
watch
so
and
cute.
The whole show of just Feeny and Trini. By the way,
Feeny and Trini, the Feeny Trini show.
Oh, I would love that. Them doing a project together on the Great Depression, please.
Oh, man, so funny. Corey walks in and isn't excited to see Trini. And Trini says, well, now that Corey is here, she's sure they don't want her hanging around. And Topanga says, oh. And then Trini immediately tells her, okay, I'll stay, but only for one more hour. Corey looks unhappy and Trini explains she was just joking and no one gets me.
Oh, it's so great.
Oh, and as she walks out the door, this is the scene I remember the most. This is the
me too.
Isn't it funny?
That's so funny. I wasn't even in this scene, but
like
I
the bedroom
out,
like, scene.
Yeah, the bedroom scene.
Huh.
My of all the scenes that I got to do with Brittany Murphy in the two episodes, this is the scene I remember the most.
Me too. And I wasn't in it for whatever reason. I think we were just all hanging out that day.
I think we were all hanging out in the bedroom and there were
so weird. Yeah.
It was just comfortable. And I remember Brittany
so
well. The
second I saw her sitting on your bed, I was like, yes. Now, because I didn't remember this set when we saw in the first episode, but when I saw her sitting in the bed, I was like, that's the day I remember hanging out during rehearsal and talking to her
Brittany
mom.
Yeah.
Weird.
Me too. So funny. Yeah, this is the moment. I was like, man, I really remember. And I think for me, the blocking being so easy, I didn't have anything else to remember. Yep, I just got to sit there and like talk to her and kind of enjoy her, which meant during rehearsal, any downtime we had, we were also just sitting there and talking.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that made it really memorable for me. So Topanga asks about Corey's day, which he says was uneventful. Corey says he got partnered up with a girl. Oh, what's her name? But Topanga already knows it's Missy because Trini told her. Corey says, Missy is kind of a stupid name, huh, Topanga? And then he calls Missy a flake because all she could talk about is her party tonight. But Topanga says, Trini didn't mention a party. Corey says, not many people tell Trini about parties, which is a very funny line. Topanga asks if he's going. Corey guffaws that he's not going without Topanga. Topanga says he should go. And she seems like a real chill girlfriend. She's like, go to a party.
Well, where's the line where Topanga doesn't say anything and he goes, huh?
Right before that. He goes, I'm going to the party. And she doesn't say anything. Huh?
Huh? Like, I love that. Like, waiting for her to say, you should go. And she doesn't. So he sort of forces it. That's hysterical.
It is so funny.
What now?
What? Huh? What did you say? Huh? Did I miss something? Huh? And then she says, he can go. It's very, very funny.
Yeah.
Corey says he'll pick up ice cream for Topanga on his way home. And she says he doesn't need to do that. But if he insists, it should be organic rice milk ice cream. But if they don't have that, make it Chunky Monkey Double Fudge with Jimmy's.
I don't know why I remember you during run through saying that all
me
the
too.
Time.
We, me too.
It's a funny line.
I do too. It's
yeah,
a funny
but
line.
I just, it's in my,
you
I
know
can
what else
see
I think
it.
Too? I think they changed the name of the ice cream. a million times.
Is that what it was? Is that why I remember it? Okay.
I remember there being a lot of discussion.
So we were all probably riffing on it backstage. Yes. We were like, it should be this. We all had opinions probably.
Because I think we changed the name of it a bunch because I remember Michael, it being very important to Michael that it, I think it, this may have been a similar flavor to like his wife's favorite
food,
ice cream flavor.
But food with him was always a big thing.
Yeah, food.
Yeah.
Food and hair.
Food and hair. Yeah. Yep.
Corey says if he's not back by 9, they must be at war. And assures Topanga he'll be back. Topanga looks confused as Corey exits. I'm also confused about the at war reference, but
I think it just means something so horrible. It's like, I'm not here by 9. Something so horrible took me away from me. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, so this is where I was like, well, what is Corey
right
going
He's excited
for?
Like, to what, go to this party.
Right. Which I guess is, you can't say it's just because he thinks it's a party. So he's just going to have fun with his friends and a girl that likes him. But yeah.
But then why? Then I don't get why he's playing it where it's like he's doing something wrong already. That's in the writing where it's like if he thinks he's just going to a party and his girlfriend is so chill, which she is, it's like why are you playing it like you're already
because he likes
doing
Missy.
Something
I mean,
wrong?
That's the only answer.
I guess it's got to be it. It's got
to
be.
He wants
be,
to
I
have
guess.
His cake and eat it too, right? I mean, that's the whole thing is that it's temptation, and he. I guess I wish it was a little clearer that Corey likes Missy.
And that
she likes him, and that there is something there, even if it's just having the hots for one another physically.
Right.
It would be nice for him to acknowledge that, especially by the end of the episode. Like, I really wish that at the end of this episode, Corey was able to say, like, yeah, I
love
made
my
a
girlfriend,
mistake.
But I'm not blind.
Right. Yeah. I just I don't know. But instead, it's like he's a victim.
The whole
thing is like keeping him. There's so much energy and twisting to make sure that Corey is innocent.
Yeah.
He didn't pick her as his partner. He got forced because it was either Trini or her. He didn't choose to go to a party where it was a makeout party because she, and it's like this constant, like it's always putting it on Missy that he's in this position, which minimizes the whole point of the episode, which is that he is tempted. And it should just be that, like, he tried to, he thought he could maybe make out with a girl or flirt with a girl at least and get away with it. And I don't know. I just wish it was less minimized.
Will's point though too, which is like to him this kind of becomes a little bit of an experiment, which this is what Corey's wanted the entire show. Like, I just want to be cool where girls want me like to come to their party. And now Sean is saying, oh, you haven't realized that's happened now. It's happened because all you needed was a girlfriend. Now that you have one, it's happened. And Corey's looking at it like, there's no way. Are you serious? And then I did get invited. Let's go. So he's wanting to take the experiment one step further.
Maybe
less about it being specifically Missy. If it were another cool girl, he would have been doing the same thing. Like, this has become, what is this that's happened? Am I cool now?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So I can see it from that way. So, then we are in Missy's house, new house alert, but same
another
darn basement.
Same basement.
same basement closet.
Same closet too. They've all got the same architecture.
Something happened with our writers in a basement with closets.
Exactly.
It's a real powerful place. We keep coming back to it.
It's crazy.
Corey and Sean walk into Missy's basement, but no one is there except Missy and Libby. Sean asks if this is a surprise party, and Libby says, kind of. Corey asks where everyone is, but Missy says, this is everyone. Surprise.
Surprise.
And then Corey and Sean are shocked.
Shocked.
And then we're in Missy's house. It continues. Missy says, it's just the four of them. Corey turns to Sean and asks what they're going to do. Sean says, he'll take Libby and Corey can take Missy. But Corey reminds him he has a girlfriend named Topanga. Libby starts flirting with Sean. I didn't know if she was whispering in your ear, blowing
or
into your ear,
licking your ear, or what
is on your
whispering.
Ear.
She must be. I think she said, like, let's go upstairs to the bedroom or something like that would be my guess. Yeah. Right. There's nobody else here or something like that. Yeah.
So Corey asks if he had anything to do with this. And Sean says, no, but I did dream this once, except you weren't here.
That's a great line.
Great line. Corey says they need to stick together and stay strong, but Libby starts whispering in Sean's ear and Corey tells him to go. Sean and Libby run upstairs away from the privacy of the basement.
But again,
let's go. I know.
Parents aren't home.
We find
Bedroom's
out later
open.
Parents aren't here. But in the moment, my thought was, so you go upstairs where the parents are? Because I thought parents were probably there, but. Okay. Missy says she's happy Corey is there and is looking for a compliment on her dress. Corey says his girlfriend Topanga has the same dress, but longer.
Another great line.
Missy pulls Corey over to the couch to sit down and Corey repeats, lunchroom lady, lunchroom lady.
Which is peak Ben Adam Savage doing Adam Sandler. It's just exactly what that is. That was Ben, like, in the craft service table, and Ben in the classroom, and Ben everywhere. That was Ben doing Lunchroom Lady. So Adam Sandler for him.
It's actually like an Adam Sandler line, because Adam Sandler has the Lunchroom Lady.
That was just, that was straight up Ben channeling
and
Adam Sandler.
And he's doing it for this whole scene, like all this sort of baby talk.
Yep.
So Corey points out the deer heads on the wall, and Missy tells Corey not to worry because her dad has never shot a boy she liked. Corey questions if Missy likes him, and she says she does, at least what she knows about him, but she wants to know a lot more. She turns his face toward her by his chin and says she's going to look deep into his eyes until she learns it all. And then Corey starts talking about the day he was born in Jefferson Hospital. It was drizzling, and he loved his blue blankie.
And then the time dissolve where they've obviously been sitting there for a while and he's still talking.
He's still talking, but he's only caught her up to the fourth grade when he got the awful diagnosis about his flat feet.
Flat feet.
Missy cuts him off and says they should talk about what's going on now. Corey says, well, not much is going on except the two of them sitting in this room with these heads. Missy wants to make it interesting, so she turns on music and starts to dance with Corey. Missy leans in to kiss Corey, but he puts his hand between them, so she kisses his hand and makes our second The Graduate reference by saying, Missy Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
Yep.
So again, Corey sees it coming and does the right thing by stopping it. He like,
but still the wrong thing by even being in this basement at this point.
Right. Because for sure, even if you say I'm following through on this experiment about going to this party to see if I'm cool, the minute it was just the four of you,
you should bail.
You need to bail. Yeah. You cannot stick around. Yeah. And they tried to make it like, oh, I'm doing this for my friend Sean because Sean's going to go.
Yeah.
But no.
Because Sean needs help with girls for some reason.
Exactly.
No, this is now Corey. Corey has officially crossed over to this is now your fault.
This is Corey's. Yeah. Corey is participating in this.
Which, you know, if he likes Missy, makes sense. Like, if you got the hots for a girl, you got the, you know, and if she,
but
if she's like, I want to look into your eyes and know it all, again, it would be great if it was like, I want to hear more like about actual Corey-ness, like, or that she thought that this was hysterical that he does this. I don't know. It just,
but this also makes perfect sense then why they changed this episode in the airing order, because there's no way that the second episode they're together, he's already cheating on her.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't have that. So they were like, why don't we hold that for five or six episodes?
It is like, if you think about the first episode of the season and this, it is like, full Corey Topanga story, you know, like, and then we had to sort of go away from that for a while to do more of the Sean stuff, finish up the Sean Turner storylines and stuff, because it is really intense to come in third season. Like, imagine if this was the second episode. That would be like
nuts. He's already, they're together. He's already had
scenes. By the way, I still feel that way.
I know, me too.
9 episodes in, and I'm like, already this relationship is clearly not awful. Good. Just
dysfunctional.
Get out of it.
Hugely dysfunctional. Yeah.
The jean jacket scene in this, I'm like, wow, this doesn't seem to be making anybody happy.
No, red flags. Definitely
everywhere.
Not Corey. Corey is
Corey's miserable.
Clearly unhappy.
And Topanga should definitely.
And Topanga's just clueless.
Pull the chute.
Topanga's like begging him to talk nicely to her and also not kiss other people.
Other people.
While
after
they're together.
Breaking into her home. Yeah, there's just so many red flags. It's like, I brought you half your cat. Like,
when
wait,
I
what?
Was young, I think I thought it was romantic. And you know, I'm like, what? Yeah. So again, we get the graduate reference. Missy Robinson, you're trying to seduce me. She says, well, she's not doing a very good job of it since it's past 9 and they're not even making out yet. Corey panics that it's past 9. He asks for a phone. She points to the corded home phone next to the couch and he takes it into the closet to call Topanga. It is for sure the exact same closet as the 7 minutes.
Exact same closet.
They didn't even try to hide it.
Nope.
Corey says he's on his way to Chubby's to pick up Topanga's ice cream. Topanga asks how the party is, and he says, oh, there were a lot of no-shows, as Missy comes into the closet, closes the door behind her, coming up right behind Corey.
Phone doesn't ring, by the way. Bad facting.
No.
Bad facting.
Bad phone acting.
He picks up the phone. He's like, Topanga.
Hello, Topanga. Parents have to answer.
You
have to ask for Topanga.
Yeah, it didn't even ring. Terrible facting.
I also just wish, like, when they're on the couch and even the dance, like, why isn't Corey having any fun? Like, he's
miserable. He knows he's doing something wrong. I mean,
he should be having fun. That's why he's there. Like, if you were ever in this position, you would be having fun either getting...
Well, you need to make a choice. You would either get the heck out of there because I'm not going to have fun because I'm doing something
wrong. I'm guilty.
Right. Or
I'm going to
just be
her.
Like, I'm doing it.
Yeah,
I'm
jump
fun.
In with
like,
both
this
feet.
Is cool.
I'm going to cheat.
Even just
it's
one
just
moment
gonna
where
happen.
He's like, oh, I really like this. You know, or she's laughing at me or I'm laughing at something she said. Like, we're connecting and this is not good. Like, but instead he's just miserable, stopping her from kissing her, miserable. Oh my God, it's 9 o'clock. It's like, well, you were miserable
were you there?
The whole time.
Yeah.
Like,
right. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They tried to make it seem like the only reason he stayed is because Sean was going to be with Libby. And so he's doing
true.
Libby,
he's
doing
Sean
a favor, like, oh, go ahead, you go be with Libby. I'll just drag this out.
That's
I'll
right.
just see
that's
what
right.
happens. So that's kind
right.
of what they're doing.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It could have been written to a little more, I think. But
yeah,
yes.
I think so too. Like, he could have been like, Sean, where is Sean? Yeah. Like, he can't leave because Sean's not there.
Or he starts to leave and you hear me yell, don't do it. Get back in there. And then he has to come back down. Right.
Exactly. They could have played that up a little bit more.
Yep.
So Missy just assaults him. She starts nibbling on Corey's ear while he's still on the phone with Topanga, and he starts singing, oh, Susanna, and he's giggling, trying not to make it obvious that he's being sexually assaulted. Corey hangs up, but Missy says he's not getting out because she is scary as hell and wants a kidnapping charge, apparently, and then she kisses Corey.
Oh, God.
Corey says he can't do this. He has a girlfriend, and even though Missy is very attractive, and then she hears her dad come home and she panics, saying he has to leave fast because she's not allowed to have boys over. And he says she's very sensitive.
Did you guys hear? I could have heard it wrong. Was it a honk?
Yes. I think it was the honk of like the car
honked.
I think it's the locking of the car when your car, when your horn honks.
Good. Because I was like, who honked?
Honey,
like,
I'm home
honking. Okay. All right. That makes sense. The alarm. Okay.
I think it's he locked the car and it makes makes a horn. Because we had this discussion in our house as well.
Good. Okay.
Corey asks how fast, and she points to the heads on the wall and says, faster, which is again a very funny line.
Funny joke.
Corey sees both deer heads and then imagines his own head as a third. His head looks at him and tells him to get out.
Get out. What voice is that, by the way? Do you think, is it Ben doing that voice? Or, really?
Is it?
It is. I think so.
Get out. Like, that's one of those things that if you had shown me, I would have been like, what is happening? Like, there was an episode of Boy Meets World where Ben's head was on a thing. I would be like, I have no idea what this is. Because, we would have shot that in like,
on a 20 Wednesday,
minutes and then never done it again.
Yep.
And I wouldn't remember it. And yet I'm sure it's iconic for some people. Like
God,
his head on that thing. Yeah, for sure.
I had no idea this ever happened.
Yeah, me neither. Sean comes up behind Corey and Sean tells him there isn't a basement in town. He hasn't escaped. Mickey gives very detailed instructions about how to get out. And Corey says, I'm sensing you've done this before. And then we're in the Matthews living room. Eric is watching baseball for Baggy and tells Amy and Alan to come watch. Alan clarifies, so if he gets hit two more times, this picture becomes a priceless treasure. And Eric says, you're proud of me. Very cute.
Mm-hmm.
Amy notices Bagwell is getting led to home plate. And Eric explains, well, yeah, the last time he got hit, both his eyes swelled up.
It's so disturbing.
So horrible.
I know.
The best, though, is when the hit happens.
Oh, my face.
Your face. You
that's what too.
Are a complete psychopath.
Yeah.
The gleam and pleasure in your eyes. I was dying. I was
so funny.
You managed to be so happy and yet completely evil at the same. Oh my God. And their
funny.
Reactions. Oh my, I was dying.
That's so funny. That was great.
On the first pitch, Baggy gets hit by the ball and Eric is thrilled, even though Baggy is still on the ground and Amy and Alan are cringing. The announcer says Baggy is requesting a microphone from the stretcher. Baggy says today he considers himself the stupidest man on the face of the earth and then announces he quits baseball. And this is a reference to Lou Gehrig, who when he retired said, today I consider myself the luckiest man
on the face of the earth. Yep.
And Alan says, well, 200 macaroons down the drain. Eric says, no way. Mark my words. That man plays baseball again or else my name isn't Eric Neil Matthews. Amy says, that's not your middle name.
That's one of my favorite Eric moments. That's one of my favorite Eric moments ever is that.
And that's the end of the storyline.
Yeah.
Like, that's the button.
Yeah.
That's it.
That was Eric, Neil, Matt. And the Say It Ain't So is another one that that is, it's a takeoff on Shoeless Joe Jackson when he got caught cheating. And it was a little kid going, say it ain't so, Joe. Say it ain't so. So that's another, those are two old school baseball references.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Hey, are you listening to us right now on some headphones?
And if so, how about a little ASMR?
ASMR, I don't even know what it means.
Even more than ASMR, we're here to help you.
It's time to learn about J-Buds Mini from J-Lab, the smallest earbud on the market by a major brand.
It's perfect for on-the-go listening to something amazing like Pod Meets World.
It even fits on your keychain, and they're so small, you can sleep with them in.
And it comes in five amazing colors, mint, aqua, black, sage, and pink.
And it's got rapid charge, where in just 15 minutes of charging gives the earbuds a whole hour of battery life.
Bluetooth multipoint also allows you to connect to two devices at once and switch seamlessly between the two.
And we've got a deal for you. Use the code WORLD25 for 25% off.
Oh, what a deal.
Visit JLab.com now to find your kind of tech.
And remember, World 25 for 25% off.
I've heard Neil was wrong, but don't they do Randall at 1.2? Isn't it Eric Randall Matthews?
I'm sure it's on IMDb. Since
Kyle,
they have Harley,
there's
Harvey.
No, Kyle's what I talk to my, what
Kyle's
I call myself.
Kyle's what you call yourself. I think that should be in quotes as part of your name.
I think it's Randall, but I could be wrong. But that's one of my favorite all-time Eric moments is just the perplexed look of that. And
middle name.
Betsy's reading is perfect. That's not your middle name. Like,
it's not
like
your
a,
middle name.
It's
I like, know.
It's so Grace, great. Yeah.
So then we're in Chubby's. Corey and Sean walk into Chubby's so Corey can order Topanga's ice cream. Corey asks Sean why he kissed Missy Robinson, not realizing he says it out loud so everyone in Chubby's can hear. Sean says Missy attacked him and Corey is the victim, which, to be fair, is the truth. It that is what happened. I do understand that Corey was there and he should have left.
Yeah, shouldn't have been there.
Being in a place that you shouldn't be is not an invitation for someone to forcibly put their mouth on you.
That's ever. True. Very true.
Like, you can do it, when you, because
you can mitigate the risk, but it still doesn't make it right.
It's a little like, to take it to an extreme, it's a little like, well, did you see what she was wearing?
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter that he was there.
I mean, right. I think the key thing is that she did try and he stopped her with his hand between their
twice.
Lips first. Yeah, that's the key. Like, if he hadn't done that, I would say, like, you know, you go in, you make the move for a kiss. And if, you know, if you
get the
touch lips,
right. Yeah.
If you touch lips, you could say, like, I don't think that that's always assault, you know, but like in this case, it's the third time that she's.
He's also not just stopped with his fingers. He also says, I have a girlfriend. Yeah, have a girlfriend. Right. I don't want to do this. I can't do this. Whether it's I can't or I don't want to. It doesn't, you know, he says, I can't do this. I have a girlfriend.
Right. He literally runs into the closet and shuts the door to be away from her. And she then follows him in there.
Yeah.
So,
I think it's doing a lot of work to just make sure that Corey is as innocent as he possibly can be.
Right.
But
never should have been in that basement.
And he does take responsibility for something. I think the show is just wanting to make sure that the viewers identify with Corey. Because if it was too easy to be like, well, Corey, you're just an ass. You're just a cheating ass.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know,
it'd
like,
be done.
And then the whole episode's useless. So
yeah, this
it
isn't
does a
Lauren.
Lot of work to
this
make
is
it,
very different than
right,
Lauren, you know,
right,
which they go down that road as well, where he.
Actually,
emotionally yes. and right. physically cheats, which is a whole different thing.
Totally different.
This is different.
It's just, I would like to point out that Sean is acting like, look, I'm going to come up with a trick for you. You're a victim, but truthfully,
but it kind of is true, right?
It is actually the truth. You know, you can, so it gets worse though for me because like you say, Corey is the victim, which truth is basically the truth, not a lie, even though Sean is acting like it's a little bit of a lie. Corey gets the ice cream from a new Chubby's employee, and Sean says, Corey,
I love
is
that Chubby's
free.
Has all this ice cream too.
In pints.
Nowhere else in town
apparently.
To get anything.
You get pints of ice cream.
You
there.
Have your raves there.
Yep.
You have your ice cream.
Yeah,
exactly. It's even though apparently Chubby's. The school is right next to a frozen yogurt shop where Madame Ospenskaya reads,
could have gone
there.
That got shut down.
Oh,
yes, that was
that
shut
sense.
Down.
Okay.
Health code violation?
Yes, health code violation. Too many wolves.
So Corey gets the ice cream and Sean says, Corey is home free. He kissed another girl and he's going to get away with it. And Tully says, hello, Topanga. And Topanga is standing behind Corey. Corey turns around to see Topanga and starts
singing.
It's like
singing, the 15th
oh,
time
Susie.
We've had the.
I wasn't even going to mention
price.
It.
I know.
Wasn't even going to mention it.
She starts singing, oh, Susanna again. And Topanga says she needed to get out of the house and that it's getting late. She worried Corey might have forgotten about her. He says, does this look like I forgot about you? Holding up the ice cream. Topanga takes the ice cream from him and asks if it's okay if she doesn't kiss him because she's still germy. She blows him a kiss and starts to walk out. Sean says Corey is home free. Corey says home nothing and then stops Topanga saying he can't lie to her about what happened tonight. And then Corey says he accidentally kissed Missy.
Before we get into that, can I just ask very quickly?
Isn't what
no,
happened.
But can I ask why? What is Topanga doing? Was she just going to walk downstairs in Chubby's and then leave?
No, she was coming to order her own ice cream.
Is that what it was? She
and
was coming
was
to get
there.
Her ice cream. Okay,
yes, she was coming.
Gotcha.
She was worried he
Perfect.
Forgot about her. She had to get out of the house. I'll go
Perfect.
Get my own ice cream.
Gotcha.
And then he has it for her, and she's like, "Oh, great, thank you. I can
right.
leave now."
Gotcha.
But
yeah,
but I think him saying
him
accidentally up. Is just a way to soften what he did. Like it's just. Him being an idiot, right?
Right, and I guess
just throwing
know,
in a word to make it sound better than
but
it is.
Did he kiss her?
He
didn't
even kiss her.
She kissed him.
The only thing he should take responsibility for is
going to.
I went to this party tonight,
and
it
I kind
turns
of knew
out
that
it was only a party for me. And instead of leaving,
I stayed. Yep,
and right. she kissed me.
Yep,
like.
After I told her twice that I didn't want to and stopped her from doing it
yes.
and then ran into another room and shut the door.
And I hid in a closet.
And hid in a closet.
And,
I mean,
to
so
call
really,
you.
The really it's a blocking thing. If they're in the closet after he hangs up the phone, if she had just sort of grabbed him and looked at him and he had kissed her.
Big difference.
Well, they met together.
Yep.
Yes.
Just, if they met together.
Correct.
It would
then
be.
Then he could say, Right. I got caught up. I don't know what I found myself in a bad situation.
And I think it totally would have been fine. I think it would have, it would have been the same moment, right? Like Corey is not, I don't know. Like, yeah, I think it's a good storyline for him to, cause he put himself in a situation. He's flirting with a girl.
Yeah.
He does think she's attractive. He says that finally.
But the truth is, in that case, if that had been the case, I think there wouldn't have ever been a world where Topanga would then say, well, then we should stay in this relationship. I think she would say a relationship is a choice you make where you agree to be monogamous with your significant other. And if you're telling me that when you go to a party, it might end up happening that you become ensorcelled and kiss somebody else, you should just be single. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being single and going to a party and kissing somebody.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be in a relationship and have a girlfriend, that's a choice you've made. You know what you give up when you make that choice. Mm-hmm. And if you, so in this case, they really did need it to be that it wasn't Corey cheating. It isn't the Lauren situation.
Right.
And address that later when he actually has a come to Jesus about their relationship and he cheats on her.
Yeah.
They didn't want that to be this case. So I don't know why then it isn't presented the way it is. And so the fact that then he says, I accidentally kissed her. Topanga has a normal reaction, which is, excuse me, how do you accidentally kiss someone? Did she slip and your lips broke her fall? Fine. He tells her he feels horrible. Again, now red flags everywhere. Topanga's just been told she's been cheated on. And he goes, I feel real bad. You sure are making me feel bad. Gosh, why do you have to make me feel so bad since I feel so bad anyway?
Right.
And she like kind of accepts that. And her response is, well, what do you think I should do? Which I love. I love asking that. That's what parents should do too, by the way. Like, wow, well, there was a real, you know, there was a choice made here that I feel like was a bad choice. What should the response to the bad choice be? And he says he hopes it's not what he deserves.
Which is a good answer, though.
Yeah, great answer. Yeah. Also, does he fully deserve to be broken up with?
No, well, with the way they wrote it, he does. The way they wrote this scene,
he does. Right,
the way
he's presenting it.
Exactly. Right. But no, of course not. He
but
doesn't.
No, at the end of the day, he made some bad choices by not leaving, but he also didn't cheat on her. So Topanga then, weirdo,
kisses him?
Goes, how'd she kiss you? Because Topanga knows she's got the ensorcelment. All she needs to do is ensorcel.
It is such a weird moment. I did not know what was happening. I was like, how are they going to resolve this? I was like,
she's
going to ensorcel
him. Yeah, she's going to ensorcel him and be totally fine. And
use her feminine wiles.
Okay.
Those feminine wiles.
I have a question. And I know this is not what they were planning, but in my head, what if she was going to stay with him, but as a bit of a punishment, she was going to get him sick?
I think so. I think that's part of it. I mean, that's why, which is also all I could think about. I was like, oh, now that's gross. Now she's getting him sick. That's all I was thinking. I was like, you made a reference to being germy. And
that's
not
why I think
him.
She kisses him. She's like, I'm going to forgive you this time, but you're going to remember what you did because I'm going to maybe kill you with strep.
Right.
So
I'm going to infect you.
infect you.
In a world post-COVID, that's, I don't know, man.
It feels weird.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you almost say that's hard to swallow? Because that would have been a great, great
that's what
there.
I was going
to
say.
Then she grabs him, says, was it like this? And she ensorcels him with a real open mouth kiss. And Corey is ensorceled. By the way, Topanga's just kissed him. He says he's never been kissed like that before.
Yeah.
What? What?
What? What is
what
this?
What is
this?
And then it was literally roll credits. It was like, what just happened?
Yeah. Topanga says, it'll be the last time if you ever do that again. And then
angry
the whole
mommy,
scene.
Angry mommy who still kisses me.
And
so
Topanga
weird.
Smiling at him like
and then
a total
smiling.
Doofus.
It smiling. Was so weird. It was such a weird ending. It was like, what just happened? It was like, what just happened?
Red
it was
flags
so
everywhere. And
resolution, they end up together.
They're fine. They're still going to stick this out, even though they're teenagers who aren't married or have children with each other. They could walk away at any point.
Yeah.
It's okay to walk away.
What would have been so much better is had he told her what kind of happened, what actually happened. I shouldn't have been. And she's like, look, you shouldn't have been down there. That was your mistake. Is that the second you walked down there and saw that it was a party just for the, you should have gotten out of there. That you put yourself in this situation.
Made clear.
No,
I mean, that's clear to us as like grownups watching the show. But for kids watching the show, the idea that Corey did something wrong is very murky. And like clarifying what is actually wrong about this situation is kind of helpful, right? Like, because we're having a very extensive discussion in this podcast about figuring out what it is that went wrong, because it's tricky. Like all of these things are tricky. And so I do think there's a responsibility to a certain degree for the show to explain what is the wrong, where the moral line is, when it was crossed, and then for Topanga to actually decide whether she wants to forgive him or not based on what was actually done
happened. Yeah, what actually happened.
None of that is clarified. It's left intentionally murky, and it's solved with seduction.
Right.
Yeah.
Or more sex.
Yeah.
Like, which is just weird.
I would have
like,
ended with a great Topanga line, and it would have taken it in a whole different way, but I would have ended with, and you know, with Corey saying something like, you know, well, what about Missy? And Topanga just going, oh yeah, she and I are going to have a talk. Like just something like that, where it was like, because it was her. She actually was the engine behind this entire thing. So the whole thing was just really weird. The way it was wrapped up. Just bizarre.
People are probably going to be so mad at me for having this take on it, because I have a feeling this is one of those episodes that people really like. I don't know. Maybe people don't really like this episode, but I have a feeling this is one of those things that when you are a kid and you watch it, for whatever reason, you think it's romantic. You think it's... Right.
Wait, what's romantic? Topanga taking him back at the end? Like
Topanga being confident enough to send him to a party and then for something bad to happen at that party and for Topanga to still be confident enough that what she's confident in is actually that Missy doesn't have what I have.
Right.
Which is some special
just
kiss.
Weird.
And some special ensorcelment power over Corey. And you know, oh, they're meant to be together. They're kids, like that kind of romanticism of like, oh, even when tough things come up, these two people can just overcome it if you turn a blind eye to horrible red flags that your relationship isn't what it should be.
Weird.
Like, there's something there that I think
you liked when you were 13.
Yeah, that just you get kind of carried away with the like, because by the way, you do get carried away by hormones at 13.
Of course.
Right. You do get carried away by exactly what Ryder is saying. Like, oh man, I have a girlfriend. I really shouldn't enjoy this as much as I am. But look, I'm having a great time. This conversation is riveting. I'm having fun dancing. Yeah. She's sitting
close
to me.
She's gorgeous.
I'm attracted to her.
She has
a short dress on. Like,
totally.
You do. Those things do happen. So anyway. The tag. We're in the school hallway. Mr. Williams asks Turner how Feeny is with this C storyline I almost forgot entirely existed.
It's only two scenes. Yep. The other storylines are only two scenes. Will's storyline is only two scenes. This one's only two. But they're good scenes. I like both of them.
They're great.
I like both the B and C storylines.
Yeah,
I'm
me
totally
too.
On board.
I do
mostly,
too.
Bill's performance is so
good.
Oh,
God, it's so genius.
It all day. Yeah.
He wants to know how his bad knee did at the walkathon. And Turner says, bad knee?
Bad
Who
knee.
Told you that? Feeny trots down the stairs.
Oh, the, just the way he runs down the stairs.
Gets a laugh on the walk. Just
great. Just bouncing down the stairs.
Trots. He bounces down the stairs.
So
and
great.
Says, there is nothing like a 10-mile walk. Eli realizes he owes Feeny $500 because of his $50 a mile deal. Feeny gets an ache in his knee and says he better ice it. Eli asks if Turner can buy him lunch, and Turner says, yeah. Eli clarifies he means all year.
All year. Great.
Then we see Corey is homesick on the couch, and Topanga calls him from school, says, oh, sounds like he has the same thing she had. And Corey says he doesn't think he'll ever get off the couch. Topanga tells him not to worry. She sent something over that will have him on his feet in no time. And then Trini walks in the front door ready to help. Now, is this payback / a revenge type situation?
I think Will's right. I think that's the best explanation for like,
that
Topanga was resolving the situation with a kiss, which is weird.
Yep.
But that also that kiss was double edged and was a way to get him sick.
Right.
So,
and then
know.
I can sick my best friend on you. Who's someone you find annoying.
Yeah, it's payback, essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I did wonder, like,
Corey learns his lesson. I do think it would have been nice to clarify, like, what that lesson is. Like, what is it about this relationship?
Don't put yourself in bad situations, I guess.
Yeah. Which is a great lesson, too.
Yeah, it's a good lesson.
I love exactly what Ryder said, that we are having an in-depth conversation about who is wrong and where were the lines crossed? And these are important conversations to have as adults, as kids especially, because relationships are tricky and social norms are tricky, and not everybody picks up on social norms the same way. And sometimes you think you are giving off a sign that you are either uncomfortable, but if you're not direct enough, someone else may not read it. And, you know, there is a lot of room for conflict and very bad things to happen if those aren't just directly talked about. And I think this episode missed the mark there. And maybe that wasn't what they were trying to do. And certainly in the 90s, this wasn't as openly discussed as...
Yeah, it is now. Sure.
There is a very big spotlight on consent these days. And I wish there had been a very big spotlight on consent, you know, years ago, but it just wasn't the same. I mean, I know we've all had private conversations about times and situations where we've looked back and thought, man, I didn't ever think of it that way. But I was definitely trying to tell somebody else no, and they did not see it that way or respect it that way. And, you know, I do think it's, we're reading it from a 2023 lens, and we will probably get ish for that like, oh, it's so woke. But being that we are rewatching it in 2023, I think it's really good to be able to say, I actually enjoyed the episode. Despite the Topanga weird ending stuff, overall, I like the situation.
Me too. Yeah.
I think the other
two storylines.
Me too.
I think digging in and finding layers of complexity, that's the most fun part.
That's the best part.
I want to do this podcast for, beyond
the
like memoir stuff.
That's the best part.
I love being like, you know, maybe Topanga did kiss him for revenge and forgiveness. You know, like all that's cool. And like, I think criticizing it is helpful. I, you know, for me, a lot of this does go back to what we noticed at the beginning of the second season, which is the horny boy point of view that this show just sort of defaults to. And it's really interesting for me to see how much the show relies on that perspective. Like this, this is not an episode about Topanga's feelings. This is not an episode about Topanga's point of view at all. Like there's a lot of complexity given to Corey's point of view, right? There's a lot of nuance, whereas Topanga is just a sort of an angry, like, you know, how is she going to react? Like, is she going to forgive me or not is the only question. Her feelings about this are just completely off camera. Like, they're just not part of the show. And that's a really interesting sort of like, it's a missed opportunity for our show, because Topanga should, she's a big part of the storyline, right? Like, and I I think with the Lauren stuff, we do get into that, right? I'm assuming our show gets more.
And this episode, I'd like to point out, written by two women.
Interesting. Yeah, that's true.
Susan Myers.
It just feels very much like the point of the episode is for Corey to be conflicted.
Yeah.
For horny Corey to not know what to do. And that's like, okay.
Yeah. I would love to see, and again, that maybe it's exactly the same. I would love to see the first draft that was submitted.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. By the two women.
The draft before it was written by a room. Yeah.
I would love to have seen what it was. Well, who knows? Could have been exactly the same, for the record.
Yeah, absolutely.
Could have been exactly the same. Yep.
Well, thank you all for joining us for this episode of Pod Meets World. As always, you can follow us on Instagram, Pod Meets World Show. You can send us your emails, podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. And we have merch.
Merch that we will no longer be signing at airports.
Writer, send us out.
We love you all. Pod dismissed.
Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers, Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production, Danielle Romo. Producer and editor, Tara Sudbach. Producer, Jackie Rodriguez. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan, Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon. You can follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show, or send us an email at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby. When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler Elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
When it comes to Podmeets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago, and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303 mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.